The time at 4 minutes past nine. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo in the studio, filling in for Dick Newman this morning. Dick has a grandson that's going to be playing college football down in Texas, and for University of North Texas. They play the University of California today, and Dick's grandson is a wide receiver for North Texas, so got to go down and watch the grandson play college football. That's a thrill for the Newman family there. So we have Tony Smith. We're going to start out a coach's show talking Lacapra Valley football with head coach Tony Smith. And what a football game it was last night. If you're with us on Q92, 35-34 win for Maury County Central. And it came down to the last second there, Tony.
Yeah, it was, as we talked about last night on the post game, it was a great start for us. We had too many turnovers there in the second, third quarter, but then in the third, fourth, we really started to execute and both offensively and defensively, and got ourselves back into the game and gave ourselves a chance to win right at the final play. And I think that's all you can ask for in any game.
Going for the two-point conversion at the end of the game and for the win. Can't get any more exciting than that.
No. As when we got the ball back there after the fourth down turnover by Maury County, I just thought to myself, well, we're going to go for two. And I honestly felt the confidence that we were going to go down and score. It was just a matter of how much time was going to be on the clock. So I thought to myself, we're going for two and we're going to get out of here. Asked a couple of guys after the touchdown to put us down one, and they all agreed that let's go for two. And unfortunately, we just missed the chance to get the win.
Yep. All right. Well, it was a beautiful Friday night in Slayton last night. Let's recap that football game then.
All right. Well, we took the opening drive, and it was just well orchestrated, the entire thing. The execution and the ability to run the ball, to pass the ball, and block up front. And so we were able to take a 7-0 lead.
I want to interrupt you there. I said this on the broadcast. That was one of the most impressive offensive drives I've seen a Lacapra Valley football team do ever.
Well, you know what was and obviously it's the first game of the year, so you know you got those jitters. Yep. and sometimes those things can get the best of you, but we just had a calmness about us there in that first drive,
and
it worked. Caden Molden fell in the end zone from 18 yards out from a pass, Davis Patzer, and then the extra point was good, put us up 7-0. And then they had a long run. I think it was like, 70 yards.
Yep.
To tie the, or actually they
by quarterback.
Yes, by their quarterback, and their 2-point conversion failed, so it was 7-6. And then we unraveled a little bit as far as being able to execute and kind of stick with our game plan. And there, just before the end of the second quarter, we were able to get the ball back, and Davis Patzer ran in from, I believe, 10 yards out to make the score 25-13 at halftime. Went into halftime and talked to the guys about, hey, you know, we got to focus in on defensively here. We got to make sure that we are getting – reading our keys correctly, making sure we have our responsibilities down. Offensively, it was, hey, great first drive. Nice job to capitalize on that last drive. Now we got to get out here in the third and fourth quarter and continue to execute. So it was 25-13, like I said, and lo and behold, even the start of the third quarter a little bit, we were still kind of disheveled. Yeah. And We were able to... Well,
they kicked the field goal in the third quarter to make it 28-13, right?
Yeah, and that was... And at the time, you know, you just kind of think, okay, well, there's just another 3 points. Well, that 3 points ended up being huge right at the end of the game. So that was a nice stop for us. I wish that thing would have been about a foot and a half to the right.
That was a line drive field goal.
Yes, it was.
It just hit the crossbar.
Just snuck right in the right side, right pole, too. So, and then I felt like the sense of urgency for our guys increased, and we started to execute again, both offensively and defensively.
Actually, at the end of the third quarter, you're down 35-13.
Yeah, and at
what
that
a comeback,
point,
what a fourth quarter for you guys.
Yeah, and we were able to get a drive going there just before the end of the third quarter, and to kind of propel us into the fourth quarter, and we were able to score and they punted to us, and we were able to score again, and on that third touchdown there early in the fourth quarter. Davis Patzer, Landon Weber for a 11-yard touchdown pass. Then we got a punt. Then we were able to get the ball back, and we were able to drive down the field again. And this time Landon Weber ran it in from 10 yards out. Went for the next thing that was the question was for the coaches was, do we onside kick this thing and give them a short field? Or do we kick it deep, try to pin him in, maybe hold him, shorten up the field? Well, with Molden's leg, we thought, well, let's pin him deep here. There was like 4.5 minutes to go or something.
4:26, I got in my notes.
Actually, it worked out because the ball landed in front of their kick returner because he had kicked so many so deep. And actually, Brant Schomer almost had himself a fumble recovery.
I mentioned that on the broadcast.
And he got up off the pile, and he kind of come over with a smile on his face. He kind of it was that far away from getting it, he said.
That was good hustle by Schomer.
Yeah, he got down the field a couple of times for some tackles, but.
Well, you got your defense held, Murray County Central there.
Then we tightened up, and it was 3rd and 8, and I believe they got a 4-yard gain, and they tried to go for it and passing it. And I think they had 2 completions on the night for them to throw the ball there. I know, catch us off guard or what have you. But then we got the ball back, and we were able to hit a long run or throw and catch to T.J. Mitchell and got us down the sideline and got us into position, and we were able to punch it in with, what, about 13 or 14 seconds to go?
13 seconds.
T.J. Mitchell over the right side there.
Four frame.
I watched the film this morning to get the stats done, and he was just – it felt like he took off from about the 5-yard line and sprawled out.
It's good to be tall.
Yes, and long arms. So at that point, hey, are we going for 1 or 2? Guys are 2. Great. They called a timeout. And so we talked a little bit about it in the huddle, like, hey, what do we want to try here? What are some options? What are you guys feeling good with? And so we settled on this play. Well, they just so happened to double Molden in the slot, and Davis rolled out to the right and looked kind of back across to his left, and Caden Kessler, who was essentially standing by himself, was in the back of the end zone. And unfortunately, as Davis was rolling to his right, throwing back to his left, guys are coming at him, and the ball just sailed up over Caden Kessler's head. But, afterwards, the conversation was, a couple of guys, I lost it, or... And my comment to them is there's so many plays in the course of a football game. We had an extra point blocked. We had, 5 turnovers. We had, 6 penalties. So there's other things that go into all of this. It's truly a team game. You can't just put all that on one person's or one play in the course of a game. But when it comes down to those last second plays, that's what everyone wants to review, and there's stuff that goes on in the first quarter that is just as important. So, it was It was a nice start to the season. Unfortunately, we did not come out with the victory. Not always a big fan of moral victories, but we felt like we did a lot of good things last night. We definitely have some things to improve on and shore up, and some mistakes to learn from.
Yep, and you know, like I said, I did the Dawson game, the unbelievable Dawson game Thursday night, and I said, you know, Dawson fell short too, but I liked what I saw from the Blackjacks, and I really liked what I saw on the Eagles team last night. They played a lot of heart and determination, and you know, even it, yeah, moral victories. I understand that, but hey, talk about your offensive line in a little bit.
Well, you know, left tackle Brock Bjornhild, left guard Blake Wells, center Caden Mortensen. Right guard is Noah Meyer, and right tackle is Drew Borsted. And I believe Cole Bjornson worked in on a snap or two last night as well. But, you know, they did a nice job in pass protection as I was watching it back this morning. Davis had a lot of time. We were able to get some throws down the field in the run game. We have some things to shore up there as far as some responsibilities with what we're doing, but as a whole, like I was very impressed with the way we handled their front.
They had a couple of big defensive linemen actually knocked a few passes down a couple of times, but
yeah, and that led to some turnovers.
Yeah. All right. Let's go through the stats.
All right. Well, throwing the ball, Davis Patzer was 22 of 34 for 268 yards. Two touchdowns, one to Caden Molden and the other one to Landon Weber. But unfortunately, we had four interceptions on the night. A couple of them were batted up in the air. It was just it's one of those things where that ball is in the air. It must seem like it's, you know, it's there forever. But you know, those are things that. When you decide that you're going to throw the ball a little bit, those are some possibilities. Right. Well, what do they say? When you throw the ball, there's three possibilities, and two of them aren't good, either an interception or an incompletion.
Yeah.
But you know what? We've got some guys, and I think that we're gonna we're gonna continue to need to throw the football. But receiving wise, Caden Molden had six receptions for 109 yards.
Wow.
And a two-point conversion. TJ Mitchell had four catches for 52 yards. Caden Kessler had three catches for 20. Cale Benson had two receptions for 14. Dylan Keimig, who had a one reception for 14 yards, and unfortunately he was not able to participate in a good chunk of the game, just was not feeling well. And so we're going to check on that this weekend. Peyton Rademacher had one catch for 11 yards, and Landon Weber had three receptions for 48 yards. Rushing, Davis Patzer had six rushes for 54 yards. TJ Mitchell had eight carries for 22. Landon Weber had 11 for 34. Caden Kessler had one carry for minus 1 yard. Tyler Earp had two receptions for 2 yards. And Caden Molden in the fourth quarter there, we stuck him in the wedge package, and
that was fun to watch.
Two carries for 13 yards.
That one quarterback sneak he did, he almost busted it for a touchdown.
He did, and you know what he does. I was watching it again this morning. What he does is as he gets to the line of scrimmage, he finds himself a little bubble. And he just goes right to that.
Okay.
And the line does a nice job of getting low and staying and running their feet, and he's just big enough where he can move the pile a little bit and find a spot. So
good. Okay.
Defensively, Davis Patzer had one assist on a tackle. Caden Kessler had a solo tackle and three assists. TJ Mitchell felt like he was in a lot of tackles last night. He had six solo tackles and seven assisted tackles and a sack. Dylan Keimig had a pass breakup. Tyler Earp had a solo tackle and assist. Cale Benson had a solo tackle. Peyton Rademacher had four solo tackles. Brant Schomer had two tackles. Tygan Allpress, who was out for the first time this year after Kaimeng went out, he stepped in and played corner. He had a couple of his first ever tackle was face-to-face and almost like a body slam. It was kind of impressive. Landon Weber had three tackles and two assists. Gabe Lowry had a tackle and two assists. Caden Molden had two tackles and assist, a forced fumble, and he recovered that fumble. Brock Bjornhild had an assist. Noah Meyer had four tackles and an assist. Blake Wells had two tackles and a tackle for loss. Caden Mortensen had two tackles and an assist. And Drew Borsted had a tackle and an assist. You know, they didn't throw the ball very much, so we didn't. Obviously, we need to shore up our run game responsibilities, but they did a nice job of kind of playing who's got it in the backfield there a couple of times. And, you know, we'll get back to it, and we'll get back to working on after today, get back into next week.
All right, you got Dawson Boyd next Friday night.
Yes, we do.
The Blackjacks we're in a battle too this week, so should be a good game.
Yes, I'm looking forward to
it. Fun rival game, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And the just a side note here. So the Fair Board was wondering, is there any way that we can play Dawson on our 150th?
Oh, on the fair weekend.
Yes, on the fair weekend. And I said, you know, I don't make the schedules. It comes through the district. They set it all up. And okay. Well, lo and behold, if it didn't happen, and
the better part would have the game at the fairgrounds.
You know, that's actually been a conversation. I don't know how serious the conversation was.
Well, they used to play the high school football games inside the racetrack there, I think.
That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's got any grass or anything in there right now, but yeah, that would be interesting.
That'd be fun. All right, Tony, how'd JV? JV have anything going on this week? Or?
Yes, okay. JV scrimmaged at Lakeview on Tuesday, and so that went very well. Got the freshmen and sophomores out there, got some experience. By rule, you cannot play a game before your first varsity game for the JV, so it was treated more like a scrimmage. But I was watching the film back on that. A lot of good things from them. Junior high played. They went up to Graceville and played Border West on Thursday. The seventh grade lost 8-0, and the eighth graders lost 35-0, I think.
Okay.
I actually watched that too on film.
Oh, gee. You get a lot of film in this weekend.
Diana filmed it.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
Take a look because Cooper plays, so
I got
a chance to watch.
Yep.
And now this week coming up here, we have on Tuesday, Mineota JV comes to Lac qui. And then on Thursday, junior high is at home. And then obviously we are hosting Dawson on Friday night.
All right, Tony. Well, the football season's underway.
Here it is. You're going to blink and all of a sudden it's going to be MEA weekend.
There you go. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, that's Tony Smith, head coach of the Lac qui Valley football team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, a wide variety of Bongard's cheese, 10% off, and tri-tip steaks and roasts, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories.
They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Get dinner to the table quickly with a new kitchen range from Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Choose from a variety of options like frozen bake technology that lets you skip preheating so you can cook frozen favorites in fewer steps. A self-cleaning oven also helps eliminate cold spots with fan convection cooking for baking on any rack. There's a new Whirlpool range to fit every kitchen, and you'll find it at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison.
Vengeance is coming. Terror at every turn. In a new breed of haunted house. American Monsters. Onion Head's Revenge. Only at Mall of America.
Fear is here.
See mallofamerica.com/American Monsters if you dare. Not for anyone with health concerns or under 10. But you.
You are mine.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country with head coach John Sherb. John's in the studio with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Well, you had a couple meets in today. Monday, last Monday must have been a hot one, huh?
That one was a little warm. Thank goodness it was a 5:30 start, not like a 4 o'clock or something like that. It could have been a little toasty, but it was still nice to kind of get out and get some running in.
All right. All right, let's hear all about it. You got Monday in Morris, and then you had your home meet, Thursday?
Thursday in Appleton, okay. Yes.
Yeah, let's hear all about it.
Morris went up there on Monday. It was a little bit warmer. It wasn't as warm as what we saw earlier in the week, but, you know, again, it was of the last week before, but at least, you know, it was still a little warmer. I thought our kids, you know, were prepared a little bit of it and handled it well. And plus also first day of school, so a lot of things going on and having. It was good to see our kids compete. I thought we had a lot of kids that maybe were a little more nervous because we got a bunch of new kids in new spots. And I thought some of our veterans actually were a little bit nervous too. So, but it was really good to start out up there. In the seventh grade, the nice thing up there, they run seventh grade girls, seventh grade boys, eighth grade. You know, they give you a chance to run against your own grade early up there. So, and it's good because we got two good seventh grade girls that I think got a lot of our future in front of them. Just see how they can handle it. Bryn Glegge was fourth overall, 11:25. Tyla Hersom, I always screw it up. I just call her Hersom to make it short. She was fifth at 11:36. I thought both those two kids really looked good. I thought they were maybe a little conservative early. But when you're a seventh grader, big eye, seeing everything, and on the east side of the golf course in Morris is a pretty good hill you got to climb up. It's a long gradual. It's not as steep as the original Morris course was back in the 90s and early 2000s. So, but it still has got a little bit of deceiving. Plus, it's wide open. There's not a tree there to protect you at all from the sun. Seventh grade boys, Matt Bothan was fourth overall at 10:28. Max Bothan was 19th at 13:03. Aaron Will was 21st at 15:02. And Eddie Felton was 18th at 12:56. And I, again, very impressed with these guys because, seventh graders, you aren't sure. You know, some of the seventh graders aren't getting their full runs in. We're trying to get them to slowly move them up in their distance. So I didn't know how they were going to handle it and thought they looked really good. Again, that's that whole thing. They surprised me. I thought they may have been just a little bit off, but they handled it very well, and that's what's good to see. Eighth grade girls, Tegan Conger was fifth at 12:04. Celeste Jenkins was 11th at 12:08. Excuse me. Aiden Bond was 15th at 13:44. And the junior high ran basically half the distance of the varsity course. So if it's a 5K, you know, they ran 2,500 meters. That was their distance on their course, just a little under 2,500. JV girls, they ran that same short distance as what the junior high did. I thought really had a nice pack in there, worked really well on some things. And I thought the kids really kind of stepped up and worked off it. Alyssa Swinski won it. That's her first time ever winning a cross-country meet. You know, she's a heck of a golfer, boy, but she really had that determination with about 600 meters to go. The girl in first wasn't that far in front of her, and I looked at Connor and I said, she's got enough fight. She'll catch the girl and get her. And sure enough, she caught her and went really, really well for it. And it was good to see her have that fight and get her first. And she was just tickled to get her first race win like that. Micaiah Poost was right behind her. Micaiah was in second at 11:47. Grace Vosick was fourth at 11:49. Abigail Alonzo was 13th at 12:28. First year off for cross country, sprinter on the track team all these years. She comes out and she gets to have a medal, and she was just tickled to get a medal too. And so you kind of really like to see those new ones that come out. The first time trying as a senior and did very well.
Who was that?
Abigail Alonzo.
Okay.
She's like I said, she's been a sprinter on our track team all the years, and she decided to, I'm going to come out cross and see what I can do. And sure enough, she looked very good, and she's come a long ways and is working really hard. Daytona Bissett was 10th at 12:20. Morgan Henderson was 26th at 13:37. Quinn Larson was 27th at 13:38. Emma Johnson was 12th at 12:26. Annika Lalum was 39th at 17:04. Madison Lee was 35th at 15:14. And then Sadie Rosendahl, new one that came out this year, was 5th at 11:50. And she really has come a long ways because it was just she was very unsure how things go. And she just kind of got caught with the top girls and worked off of them and really ran well. And it was good to see her also fill in there good. JV boys, our top runner was Charlie Will. He was 18th at 10:20. Blake Thompson was 21st at 10:28. Brendan Sherb was 36th at 11:07. Baxter Colliff was 31st at 10:55. Hudson Geezy was 50th at 12:06. Porter Peterson was 49th at 12:01. Brody Nelson was 47th at 11:44. Varsity girls, we've got a little bit nicked up a little bit in the girls right now. We got our number two runner is out, hopefully another week of slowly getting her back in the system. I'm thinking, we're going to look down the road. It probably will be actually, I'm kind of planning out, probably be the Madison. Maybe we'll get her into JV, just get her started back in the role. And just she grew a little bit, that's Shea Bothan. So hopefully we get her back, and that'll be a big key for our girls once you get her back. But our five girls, I thought, ran really well for the first one, worked off each other. And that's the thing is we're trying to develop more and more of these guys of pushing one another, getting into that mold with if someone can go dragging another along with them, trying to get them just to kind of push each other through. And good. Chloe Glady was our top runner. Chloe got out. She bit off more she can chew, is a good old saying to say. She was out comfortable, and then she just hit the wall. And that, I didn't know what was going to happen that last 2 miles. That last 2 miles, she was struggling, but she regrouped herself because she was sitting in about fourth, fifth spot early in the race and then just hit the wall. And the heat and also the emotion there, I think, really caught into her. She didn't kind of get herself back into it. She got herself back mentally into it, and I thought she came back very well to finish 16th at 23:02. Then we had Taylor Wood was 40th at 25:26. Reese Oxnard was 41st at 25:36. Harper Grunholtz, we got her back finally. Young girl just trying to get her back into the fold. She was 42nd at 25:39. And then Brooklyn Sturd was 29th at 24:20. Scoring-wise, Spicer won at 47. West Central was next at 88. Minnewaska at 102. Melrose 108. And we were sitting in fifth at 140. And like I said, I was very pleased with that just because, when you're putting five on there, we're letting these other ones develop themselves and come along. You want to have success early, but you want, we bring these kids along and let them kind of mature. And that's kind of what we're kind of doing with this young crew of this girls inexperienced team. We're going to let them go, and hopefully these younger ones will help them along. Boys varsity, going in, we didn't know where we were going to be at, just because, like, James Weber, he'd been at boot camp all summer, never saw him. So he had went on vacation. So we didn't know where he was going to fit. But I thought the kids really ran well in a lot of spots. Gavin Carl was 6th, 18:18. Too aggressive too early, but that's, again, that gumption. If you want to get going, you want to get out there in that front side, you want to push the pace. And he paid for it in there and just kind of back to bite him in the rear. But, again, that's the learning process. I'd rather have him learn this stuff early and then take care of more of a bigger business at the end. So he was 6th overall, 18:18. Eli Hagelin was 20th at 19:28. James Wetter was 21st at 19:38. Joseph Felton was 32nd at 20:49. Cade Solom was 28th at 20:27. Tayden Clark was 19th at 19:28. Ran well early, but ran out of gas just because he hasn't got a full workout and he was sick all one week and just we lost that on him, so we got to get him back. Luke Stock was 59th at 23 flat, and then Landon Keeman was 63rd at 23:26. Scoring wise, Sauk Center went with 41. We were second with 79. Spicer was 83, and Minnewaska at 92. So very pleased with the scoring and the boys. You know, we just keep reloading, keep going through, and that's all you can do. And the kids are coming along nicely. Just got to kind of be a little smarter with things, but that's a learning and growing process of it. And I think that's, you know, what we're doing on that.
Okay.
Then Thursday night, weather actually turned out probably one of the better ones we've had in Appleton in a long time. We've had some Appleton meets that has just been a cooker, and this one was actually probably the best one we've had in five,
real
6 years.
Real pleasant.
Oh, it turned out real pleasant. I was a little worried. It was cool all day, cloudy, and that sun broke. I thought, oh, here we go. It's going to get hot and sticky, but that wind really helped a lot, and it was good. And the meet turned out very well for us, and I thought the kids looked a lot calmer, a lot more focused, a little more aggressive on the right times. I thought that was good to see there. Junior high girls ran together 7th and 8th grade. They ran about 2,400 meters, almost 2,500. Bryn Gleggie won her first race of her young career in cross, first time 11:13. Tegan Conroy was right behind her at 11:28 in second, and Talia Hersom was third at 11:29. So three girls top, that helps, you know, taking top three with those 7th and 8th graders. Celeste Jenkins was 9th at 10:03, and that's 12:03. Excuse me, can't read my own writing. And Aiden Bond was 10th at 13:04. Seventh grade boys, Matthew Bothan won his first race, looked very comfortable, got out, looked a little more aggressive than he did on last week, had a great race with a kid from Monty down the straightaway. Those two neck and neck went all the way, and just had enough to hold him off to win it, and he went 10:13. Then we had Max Bothan, 18th at 13:07, Aaron Will at 21st at 13:15, and Eddie Felton was 20th at 13:13. JV girls, we kind of pulled a bunch of girls out because some of the girls aren't ready to race twice in a week, and that's because probably a little bit of some injury, some soreness, plus also they don't have enough of the base running over the summer, so that kind of bit them. They're young, I don't want to get them beat up, so we kind of went with a skeleton crew there, but our crew that ran very well again. Sadie Rosenthal, second overall at 20:35. Daytona Bissett was third at 20:36. Abigail Alonzo was 6th at 22:43, and Madison Lee was 16th at 25:52. JV boys, and I forgot to mention JV girls, ran 4,000 meters. JV boys also ran 4,000 meters. Luke Stock was 7th at 17:41. Landon Keeman was 8th at 18:02. Baxter Colliff was 15th at 19:55. Brendan Sherb was 9th at 18:36. Hudson Giese was 16th at 20:34. Porter Peterson was 19th at 22:02. And Brody Nelson was 11th at 18:54. I thought he ran a really good race, too. You know, he's a new one, too, that came up. Varsity girls, again, Morris, we was a close one with us last time at Morris at their place. And, you know, smaller meet, less spread on numbers. And didn't know what was going to happen. Chloe Gleggie ran really well. She was 2 minutes faster than last year on the same course.
Oh, nice.
If you also compare, she went 17:31 for a 4K. She was 23 minutes, so it's 23 minutes up at Morris, and that's only 1,000 meters longer. So 6 minutes is not going to be 1,000 meters. So she ran very, very comfortable, and she was not far behind the Morris girl, which was a good build off of her. So I thought she bounced back really well at 17:31 for a 4K. Brooklyn Sarah was 6th at 18:36. Taylor Wood was 7th at 19:48. Harper Grunholz was 10th at 20:22. Reese Oxendorf was 12th at 20:44. Alyssa Sawinski was 15th at 20:48. And Mike Hyapoos was 14th at 20:49. Scoring, girls won it with 31. Morris was 2nd at 42. And BKMS at 61. Boys, again, now they ran the 5K, so you got to hit the clubhouse hill twice, and so that's a little more of a challenge, and that's kind of the footing was interesting on that, but, you know, it's a good challenge for them. Gavin Carvel, second, got a great race again with the Ortonville kid, and that's, those two are going to have to race each other to make themselves better, and that's what's good to see. You just can't go out and win. You've got to be able to work and have different tactics, and I thought it was a great race for both those, and he was second overall, 18:54. Tayden Clark was third at 19:37. Eli Hagen was fifth at 19:57. James Weber was ninth at 20:40. Joseph Felton was 12th at 21:29. Cade Solomon was 13th at 21:40. Charlie Will was 27th at 23:28. Blake Thompson was 29th at 24:03. Scoring, boys won it with 25. Monty was second with 42, and BKMS was 60. we had a lot of kids really make some nice improvements, and that's what you're expecting. We're expecting to, you know, improve. We can't improve every stinking meet, but we're looking at improving all the time and getting better.
And it's early in the season yet, so.
Yeah, it is, and that's, you know, it's nice to have those two meets early. Then we can kind of focus. So that was a good start for us and see where we're at.
Yeah, you just want to keep improving, getting better, and when you hit sections.
Yes, and that's the goal. You know, it's always at the end. How we, you know, we never really put a lot of pressure how we start the season. It's how you finish. That's ours, our goal.
Got to mention, too, Montevideo is in Appleton. Jenna Prestalt is on the coaching staff in Montevideo. Now one of your former runners.
Yeah, one of my former runners. I'm trying to get her to come back over. I told her she looked better in that red, black, and gold instead of that purple and gold. So she just chuckled and laughed. Well, she'll do very well in the program. That's good. You like to see it when some of your former athletes get into that. It's always
that's
nice.
Right. Yeah, you gotta feel pretty proud that they, you know, sticking with the sport and they're coaching.
So. Yep, and that's a good thing. She's always asking me some questions on things, and I'll tell her whatever they want to know. I have no secrets out there. Just you just work hard and do what you can.
Yep. All right, what do you got coming up this week then?
We are off. We get some work in this week, which would be nice. Early in the week, we'll get some work because we really need to get down to the county park. I know the kids are dreading that idea, but we got to be at the county park and pound those hills down there. So we'll get that. And then we don't race till Saturday. It'll be a 9:30 race over in Milbank, which would be a fun one because you'll see South Dakota schools over there. You only score four, so it's a lot of some very, very talented South Dakota teams. Milbank's always been hotter and heckin' tougher nails out there on the boys and girls. So that'll be good. We're going to have three kids. I know for sure they're going to be at the county fair showing, which I think is a great opportunity for these kids to do that. So, I mean, if we lose them for a meet, that's fine. They're showing at the fair, the livestock, and I think that's so important for these kids, these young kids, to do that. They just can't dwell on one thing. You need to see variety. So we'll be short a little bit, but that's the way it is, and we just keep moving on and take what we get.
When you say you're in Milbank Saturday, and whenever you say that, that was my very first time I ever went to a cross-country meet. It was when my son ran for you, and it was in Milbank that Saturday. And I'll never forget that, how impressed I was with everybody. And I had no idea really what cross-country was all about or what, you know, I've learned a lot since then, John, from you.
Oh, I try to help what I can, but it's
fun. That's a neat course over there, and you know, they got some different rules and stuff, right?
Yes. You know, South Dakota gets a little bit more stickler on the undergarment and also the the manufacturers, and that's the biggest thing. Cause I know there's a lot of times we've had kids where they wear a shirt underneath and whatever's got two emblems. Well, you have to turn it inside out. So a little different with the same with the scoring four over there, which is neat because now you get your five and six are pushers instead of over Minnesota, you know, your six and seven are pushers. So it's always that good thing to go there. And I guess there's a lot of small schools that come over there where they come with about seven kids and about three of them are just horses that just go out there and just beat everybody up in the course. So it's just fun seeing teams you don't see. And that's what's so fun over there.
Then what do you got? You know, what do you got after Milbank then?
After Milbank, then we'll go back to run the Spicer on a Thursday, and that'll be a big one because we'll see a lot of schools out of that old Section 6, and that's going to be a interesting one up there, and that's so there'll be a drive to get that with a big, probably 13, 15 teams and all big schools. So that'll be a good one in the following Thursday.
All right, real good, John. Well, appreciate you coming in, and good luck next Saturday in Milbank. We won't have you on, of course, and the coach's show, but
that'll be perfect.
Looking forward to hearing about that. So, all right.
Thank you,
John. John Sherb, head coach of the Lockbrow Valley Dawson Boyd cross country team. We'll take a break, come back with more to coach's show after this.
You work hard for your money, and we want to help you make the most of it. This is Laura Clark at the Mattress Barn and the new Clearance Barn in Marshall. Be on the lookout for our Labor Day sales and mailer hitting your mailbox soon. Great savings on mattresses, adjustable bases, couches, sofas, love seats, recliners, creekside patio furniture, and so much more. Plus, our Labor Day sales event means no sales tax throughout the store. Free delivery on orders up to $7.99 within 90 miles of Marshall. And you can take advantage of our new no-credit check 100-day 0% financing at the Mattress Barn on East College Drive and Clearance Barn just west of the airport on Highway 19 in Marshall.
Turn to Tufty Auto and Sales in Madison for all your collision and glass repair needs, or if you are looking for just the right Harley-Davidson rebuilder. Check out their website at TuftyAuto.com today. Tufty Auto and Sales is ready to meet and exceed your expectations for collision repair and glass replacement. That's Tufty Auto and Sales, East Highway 40, Madison, Minnesota. I'm with Holly Thompson from 3B Vineyard. They're at the fair. What do you got going on at the fair, Holly?
Oh, it's the 150th anniversary, Paul, and we at 3B have lots of different products. We have a Brianna Sunset Sip, which features our white grape with a little bit of pineapple juice and some CO2 with some bubbles in it, along with the grape lemonade, which also now has CO2. And my good friend Deanna Borsted from Remington Ridge has wine slushies. And my good friend Lynn Marotsky from White Barn Honeyberries has shakes now to sell with her honeyberries along with the sundaes. Come see us at the fair.
3B Vineyard will be offering a wristband for refills at the fair. No need to carry around a cup. Buy a wristband and get a clean glass of grape lemonade.
Today, the first Saturday of the month at St. James Catholic Church in Dawson, they'll have the Blessed Adoration to honor Our Lady of Fatima. It'll be going on from 8 to noon. The Rosary and Fatima prayers will be at 10 a.m., and that's at St. James Catholic Church in Dawson today. We know church services at Lewisburg Lutheran Sunday this weekend. Marietta will have services at 9 a.m. No services at Lewisburg Lutheran this week.
Slatin Piano and Music, one-year anniversary giveaway and sale going on right now. 10 prizes total. Grand prize, Kohola soprano ukulele with stand and strap. Many $20 gift certificates and $10 gift certificates given away. Register at the store for our free drawings and check out all of our special savings. Don't forget our piano sale. Pop a balloon and get up to an extra $150 off of our regular low, low prices. Drawings to be held at 6 p.m. September 4th. Don't need to be present to win. That's Slatin Piano and Music, one-year anniversary giveaway and sale. Slatin Piano and Music, located downtown Montevideo. Did you know that you can protect your concrete flooring? At T&D Barnwood Rustics, we install flake finish flooring for garages and basements. We only use a commercial grade product. The flakes also come in many colors and color combinations and chip size to choose from. When you're wanting a cement coating that is durable and stylish and easy to clean, then flake flooring is what you're looking for. Call or text Tom at 605-695-5292 for an estimate. We do residential and commercial floorings. Call for an appointment today. That's Tom and Delight Ludvigson at T&D Barnwood Rustics. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramos sitting in for Dick Newman this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's going to get a little toasty today, right, yeah. Dr. Hacker?
That's the way it sounds. Yeah. That's right.
Coach Brad Hacker of the Lacrobal Valley Dawson Boyd girls tennis team's in the studio with us. And we're going to talk tennis right now. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. We're out and playing and getting more matches under our belt. So we were up at Melrose this past week, and we were over at YME this past week. So we got a couple of varsity matches under our belt. Melrose, we ended up taking a loss at 5-2. But I think, the nice thing this year is that we have a lot of new players in new positions, and it's fun to see them improve as the season goes on. And at this point, we've got 11 matches under our belt already, and only seven more to go.
11 matches.
Yeah, 11. 11. We're almost two-thirds through our season already. It goes fast. So, but watching those new players in these new positions, they're learning, they're improving, and even where they are now from that first match of the season is really fun to see. I think the girls were really a little frustrated with the Melrose match. A lot of them right away were talking about, I want to play her again.
Well, that's good attitude.
Yeah, it's a good attitude. So we've kind of stuck with the same lineup, which seems to be working pretty well for us. Hannah Oy plays one singles. She took a loss 6-4, 6-4. So again, close. Kayla Jan played two singles, lost at 6-4, 6-3. Sadie Hacker played three singles, took a loss in three sets. She won the first set 6-3, and then things turned around on her. She lost at 6-2, 6-3. Elsie Wiebe at four singles picked up our win there at 6-1, 6-2, did a nice job being very consistent. Taylan Jorgensen and Gertie Sieg are playing our one doubles team, ended up picking up a loss 6-4, 6-3. Alexis Olsen and Maya Virgi, a couple 10th graders out of Dawson, are our two doubles team. They lost their first set 6-3, but picked up a 6-2 win and then won 7-6 in a tiebreaker for the third. And then Jordan Johnson and Val Piotr, our third doubles team, lost 6-3, 6-3. So, you know, none of our losses were blowouts. A lot were very close. You know, we felt like, of course, we're a little biased, but we, you know, we felt like maybe we weren't playing our best tennis at the right times. And, you know, you get one or two games that get away from you, and it's hard to close the match out or close that set out. So, but hopefully, you know, the point with this is new players, new positions all the way through. Everybody's, you know, being smart about things. Hey, reflecting a little bit on what worked, what didn't work. How can I improve with the next match? I mean, we really just pound that. Like, hey, we may not pick up the W, but every time we should be picking up one or two things that we can bring to the next match, be a smarter, better player. And I think the gals are doing a good job with that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, oh, go ahead.
Well, that was the, what match was that?
Yeah, we were up at Melrose. Yep,
okay.
Up in Melrose.
That's, so, that's a drive?
That was a drive. That was a long drive.
Yeah.
I think I probably pulled the bus in at about 11:15 that night.
Oh,
so it was a late night.
Yeah.
So then we went over to YME. You know, YME was scheduled to be at our courts. You know, we took some pictures of our courts, sent them over to the other coach over there. Jeff Lallum's a good guy. He's been coaching forever.
Yep.
And he's like, you know, I'd rather just play here, and I get it. So we did play all four matches on their four courts over by the high school. A lot of times they separate and send two matches down below the hill.
Okay.
So you're in two locations, but he was very, you know, workable, understandable about like, hey, let's keep them in the same spot because that way at least we can, you know, we can be there. The teammates can help each other. I can see the matches.
Yeah.
We ended up picking up a 7-0 win over at YME on Thursday.
Okay.
So, again, same kind of lineup. Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, Sadie Hacker, Elsie Wiebe were our doubles teams. They all picked up wins down across the board. Hannah's was 6-2, 7-5. Kayla, 6-3, 6-2. Sadie, 6-4, 6-1. And Elsie was 6-0-0. So, we call those bagels in tennis. If you beat somebody 6-0, you bagged them.
You bagged them.
Yeah, you bagged them because it's a zero.
Oh.
So, it looks like a bagel. So, that's the idea.
Okay.
So, Elsie picked up a double bagel, which you don't get too often in tennis. So, good
always
for her.
Always compare things to food, right?
Right, exactly. Taylan Jorgensen, Gertie Sieg. Played a nice match, 6-3, 6-0 win. Alexis Olsen again, Maya Virgie in two doubles. Bageled their opponents, 0-0, 6-0, 6-0. Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson put up a good fight. They lost their first set 6-2, changed some things, adjusted. You know, they were very upset with them after that first match, And tennis, like a lot of sports with tennis, it seems like you get in your head so much and then your game goes sideways, right? But they turned it around, 7-5 win in the second set, so went to an extra game there, and then picked up a 6-2 win in that third set. So they're able to close it out for us over there. So they did a nice job. And, you know, in tennis, it's a 7-point match, right? We've got seven matches that play, and that one singles player who may be the best player on your team, her win counts just as much as that third doubles win, you know, with who are usually probably the weaker players on your team. So a point to point, I don't care where we get them. It can be at the top of the lineup or the bottom, but we were able to close them all out there. So the gals did a really nice job.
A sweep there then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They did, you know, and Jeff's got a young team, so he's doing an awesome job. They actually asked, he worked with the school board, and they opened tennis enrollment down to sixth grade for them from a number standpoint. So he's got 19 total, but four of them are sixth graders.
Oh, you can do that. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, okay. So non-contact sports, you're allowed to do that.
Oh.
Yeah, so most schools don't because you've got, you know,
They have the numbers.
Yeah. Exactly, right?
Oh, so, I learned something new today. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's something I learned too on Thursday.
Okay.
So so this coming week, we head over to Sox Center on Tuesday. And then, again, Waska is supposed to come our direction. But because of courts, we're going to head up to Waska on Thursday for varsity.
Okay.
So on from the JV side of things, we took JV with when we were over at YME. They did use the two courts kind of down below the hill.
Okay.
So JV was they were all able to get a couple matches in on Thursday, which was nice.
Okay.
And then JV will host Monty this coming Tuesday. And then when we go to Waska, Waska's JV is going to head our direction on Thursday. So they'll have two matches this coming week also.
Good.
So starting to get some matches under their belt and get some experience.
Is that Hank Ireland coach or who coaches?
For
the JV?
Oh, here for
yeah.
us? Oh, Austin Ireland.
Austin.
Yeah,
Ireland.
Austin Ireland. Yeah, that guy is awesome. He's just tons of energy, super good attitude. The gals love him, so I hope he just keeps doing this forever. but anyhow, he's a really nice asset to have for the program. He does a great job with them.
How many JVers do you have out?
We've got nine JVers out right now. I'll just go through the lineup with those gals quick. So it's nice to get some numbers down at those younger ages. So we have Kenna McTye as a ninth grader, Macy Moen, a 10th grader, Brianna Borstad, a 9th grader. We have a few 8th graders then. We have Reese Kuzman, Cameron Olson, Laura Schreier, and Vanessa Piatter. And a couple new 7th graders, Greta Hacker and Taylan Bendel, are playing. So it's nice to get some new blood there and hopefully keep the pipeline full, right? That's the goal.
That's the goal. That's how you build the program.
Right, exactly. So we head up to SOC. SOC is a conference match for us.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, and WASC is also a conference match for us. So we're kind of getting into that part of the season. We're playing, conference tourney here at the end of the month even.
Already?
We're in September, yeah. Yep, so things go fast.
Where's that held at then?
We're going to go up to Alexandria, up to the high school up there. Yep, and Alec is great about hosting us. They've got 12 courts at one location, and then they've got another 8 in another location.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we can get all the matches on and get them rolling pretty fast. So that works well.
And when's section play happening?
Happens after. So that's, tennis is a little confusing. Some of these teams are section teams, and some of these teams are conference teams. But section starts the Thursday after our conference tournament, actually. Oh. So we'll be right away. We, you play or you're done pretty much.
Okay.
So that.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, did we touch on everything then?
Yeah, I think so.
To talk about today?
I think so. Yeah, I think we did. I think I'd do another shout out to the gals all the way 7th through 12th. They're working hard out there. The heat's been a little tough. Looks like it'll cool off just in time for Tuesday of next week to get back out at practices and matches. So I'm looking forward to that. And, Taylan Jorgensen is our lone senior this year. So she's kind of leading the charge that way.
Okay.
So, it's nice to have her. But then we got a slew of juniors coming through. So
good.
Yeah, it's a good group.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
That sounds great.
We got a couple matches to talk about. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
that was perfect timing. Sherb leaves, and you just walked right in. So,
well, that's perfect. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep. Coach Dr. Brant Hacker talking tennis, and we'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show after this.
Thanks, Paul.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, September 1st through Monday, September 4th in Theater 1. It's Equalizer 3, starring Denzel Washington, that's rated R. The Equalizer 3 in Theater 1. In Theater number 2 at the Grand, Gran Turismo, rated PG-13. That's Gran Turismo in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. The Lac Parle County Fair is coming up September 7th through the 10th in Madison, and now's the time to buy those ride vouchers early and save. Presale vouchers, $20 each. You can exchange them the day you ride for a wristband or 30 tickets. That's major savings with the vouchers. They're available in Madison at Jubilee Foods, Old National Bank, United Prairie Bank, Casey's, and Lac Parle Co-op Oil. Dawson at Tim's Food Pride, Greater Community Credit Union, MinWest Bank, and Casey's. Bellingham at the State Bank of Bellingham, Marietta, Bruce's 66. Get your ride vouchers today and save. Advance sale ends September 6th.
Race fans, we're back at it this Monday night. Labor Day race is Ag Appreciation Night and is dedicated to all area farmers, seed dealers, elevators, and all agriculture workers. Thank you for all you do. This race is for you. Monday night, special start time at 6 o'clock. All classes in action. Don't forget kids, get there early. To register to win a fantastic fan of the night, sponsored by Hughes Auction Real Estate Services. I am Scotty Ireland. Monday night, Madison Speedway, 6 o'clock. We'll see you at the track.
Paul Ramo, just wrapping up the coach's show for this morning. Just received a text from volleyball coach Brooklyn Gould. She's unable to make the coach's show today, so we'll talk with Brooklyn next Saturday. I know the volleyball team opened up their season at home and swept Clinton Graceville Beardsley 3-0. Thanks for listening to the coach's show this morning, and have a great weekend.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, a wide variety of Bongard's cheese, 10% off, and tri-tip steaks and roasts, 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
A multi-platinum artist has passed away. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Jimmy Buffett was 76. Fox's Michelle Polino has more.
His music became known as Island Escapism.